Jewish news from down under. Down under. With Vic Halliday.
Good day, mate. Good morning, Vic. How are you?
Good morning, Kath. Very well, thank you. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, very good to speak to you always. Vic, let's get straight into some of the stories. Synagogue dispute. Give us an update on what's happening with that synagogue dispute.
So this is the continuation of the issue that we discussed last week, where South Head Synagogue, which is in fact the second largest synagogue in Sydney, or correction, has been the second largest synagogue in Sydney in existence for half a century,
wow,
has had this major dispute over the rabbi who has been there for all of 4 decades, the Rabbi Bentzion Malecki. So where we are right now is, first of all, anecdotally, last Friday night, we saw tragically 2 rival, dare I say it, Shabbat services taking place at the same time. One with fewer than 50 congregants, and another which was dubbed as, quote, for all those who call for the rabbi's retirement to attend, had 100 people. And this is a massive community, as I say, with a couple of thousand people. And so we had these 2 competing services, as it were. Where we are right now is that the rabbi has made it clear that he's prepared to leave his day-to-day duties at the synagogue for a payout of less than $500,000, less than $500,000, and an ongoing pension for the rest of his life. This is according to the Australian Jewish News. And according to the report, he's prepared to leave if he all he's asking for, he says, that he wants money is owed to him in the form of long service leave, holiday leave, back pay, and entitlements which are due to him. And in addition, he would want some form of control, some form of involvement in the ongoing workings of the shul and the runnings of the shul. And so this is where we are. He has made it clear that he's not going to, as he put it, turns his back on the shul. Quote, to be asked to leave unconditionally a synagogue that the Rebbetzin and I have played a role in building over 3 decades of our lives remains totally unacceptable, he says. And we call upon the creditors to join us in formal mediation. So he's calling for mediation. This is what he's asking for monies owing to him to be paid, for lifetime pension to be paid. And so that's where we are. So the dispute, sadly, is continuing. I've heard that there's a date of July 27, which is obviously only 2 weeks away, by which time an agreement has to be reached. And so that is where we are. With, as I say, and 2 competing services last Shabbat, only 4 people apparently turning out for a Shabbat service on the Saturday morning. And so the dispute unresolved as we are today on July 11, but with this offer of mediation on the table.
All right. So let me understand this in blonde, Vic. So the rabbi has the rabbi has been serving the community for the last 40 years. Okay. Over that 40 years, he's obviously got increases, and I think you mentioned last week that it was he's paid around about $40,000 a month.
It was
somewhere in that region,
something like that, just short of that figure. That's correct.
The community have said,
yes.
Right. The community have said it's unsustainable to continue paying the rabbi that amount of money.
And it's not just from what I understand, not just a financial issue, but from statements which have been made by various people involved with the synagogue at various levels, they've been wanting for some time now, as they put it, to move on, to bring in a new rabbi, to bring in fresh blood, and to refresh the entire operation. So it's been more than a financial issue, but also wanting to kind of refresh and, you know, as well, has been part of the issue.
What a terrible situation for all the parties involved.
A sad situation, yeah, for all the parties involved. For the rabbi himself, obviously, who, you know, and one also always wishes, obviously, that people who have served the community so long, that they can depart with dignity, that which is owing to them. And at the same time, here a board, understandably, wants to, you know, to refresh and bring in new blood, etc., obviously, which is the nature of any organization, I guess.
Okay, well, I suppose they've got his terms, and if he has been there for 40 years, then a pension would be the right thing to do, I suppose. But hey, that's just me. No,
yeah.
But anyway, let's see what happens. I hope that it does get settled. in a good way. All right, some of the stories 20 years after the Maccabiah tragedy. Tell us about this. Where is it today?
So where we are, so as listeners know, we're in the midst of and probably coming to the end fairly soon of the Maccabiah, which is taking place right now in Israel with 10,000 athletes approximately from around the world. And Australia traditionally, and again this year, is one of the largest contingencies of over 500 athletes. I think it's probably the biggest after Israel and the United States. And it's 1997, so exactly 20 years ago, that the bridge disaster in which four Australian Maccabiah competitors lost their lives, either immediately on the spot then when this bridge collapsed or as a result of toxic poison, I guess that's a tautology, which they ingested when they fell into the absolute sewage, which the Maccabiah River certainly was then. I obviously have no inkling of what it's like now. So it's 20 years later, and so members of all four families, plus others who were there 20 years ago, have been at the Maccabiah and attended a ceremony dedicated to their lost loved ones. And in fact, there are quite a number of poignant stories. One of the people, for example, who died, his name was Warren Zines. So his grandson has been taking part in one of the tournaments at the Maccabiah this time for the first time. And so Warren obviously never got to meet any of his grandchildren, and it's his first grandson who actually has been competing in the Maccabiah right now, playing football, playing soccer. And so as Warren's daughter and this young man's son, young man's mother said, quote, Joshua, the young boy, will finish the journey that my father began. So the memorial service was held at the very spot where the bridge collapsed. Obviously, it was a very difficult moment for the entire Australian team. Hundreds of people attended the ceremony, including dozens of the Australian athletes, dozens of officials, and as I say, family members of those who died, and the entire 2017 Australian Maccabiah team. So a very poignant commemoration for all those involved and you know, and other members of the Australian team being there for their friends, for their family, for their loved ones.
Vic, very quickly, because we are running out of time, Dennis Ross, the author, is in Sydney or in Australia.
That's right, and I've had the absolute privilege, and the word I use the word advisedly, of spending some time with him and arranging quite a bit of media for him. Dennis Ross has had the position of being advisor in the White House to four U.S. presidents, two Republican, two Democrat. I mean, that's an extraordinary track record: Reagan, Clinton, Bush senior, that is, and Obama, two Republican, two Democrat. And I've had the privilege of listening to Dennis Ross a number of times in Washington and over the years. And he speaks with such extraordinary clarity and sense on the issues. His new book is called Doomed to Succeed, and it's an inside story on the White House from talking through four U.S. administrations. He's here in Sydney. He's speaking here tonight at it's called the Anti-Defamation Commission, or GANDL Oration. The Jewish Board of Deputies is co-hosting it, and he gave a speech in Melbourne just a few days ago as well. He's done quite a bit of media, television, radio, newspaper, because the guy is just brilliant. And for listeners who do not have his book, I'm not getting any commission on this, I promise you. But Doomed to Succeed is his take on the inside story on four U.S. administrations, as well as his take on Israel, the Middle East, you know, the full catastrophe. Well worth reading, and if anybody comes across where he's giving a public speech, certainly very well worth listening to.
Fantastic. Vic, that's where we leave it today. We wish you a good week. You know, if you're fasting today, wish you an easy and a meaningful fast. And, yeah, we'll catch up with you next Tuesday.
I look forward to that, Kat. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Vic.